chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1 and 1. I know I'm supposed to be in Galatians. I'm still studying Galatians. But, man, did y'all hear what Eddie preached Sunday? Amen. Amen. It's important that we know some of the things that we just, we hear them, but it's really important that we know them. Not that we just hear them and say amen, that we really get it. We really get it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to read it again. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Look at this person beside you and say, he's talking about Jesus, and you may be seated. How many people in here can draw really well? Draw with a pen, pencil, paint. Raise your hand really high if you can draw really well. You're really good at it. How many people are just kind of so-so at it? And how many people are horrible at it? All right, look around. So we're not going to have an art auction to raise money for a church. We won't do that because it's not going to work. You've probably seen this before, but Shane, if you can, give me that first image. I hope you've seen it. Allegedly, this is a real police sketch. Allegedly. I don't know. But they say they caught the guy because of this drawing. I don't know. The chin is a little off. There's some things that are off. All right, give me my other one. I think we have another one. I mean, I don't know how these people get paid, because I could do better than this, right? A little off. It's don't quite line up. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. All right, Shane, you can take it down so everybody quit staring at the TV screen. Express image. Express means the exact expression, the image of any person or thing, marked likeness, listen, precise reproduction in every respect, a facsimile. It is the same. It is exact. It is precise. Unlike these drawings that we just seen, Jesus was the express image of God. Dustin preached to us not long ago. He talked about how that Jesus would, that God would reveal himself in the Old Testament. And then when we got to the New Testament, we realized that God wanted to reveal himself once and for all. And he chose to do that in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the express image of God. In the Old Testament, they seen in shadows. They seen in part. They understood in part because they'd seen it in part. There was types, and they didn't quite see it all. They seen aspects of God, but they didn't see God completely. They seen part of who he was from age to age, but they never really seen him completely. Fast forward to the New Testament. God revealed himself once and for all and perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. So I want you to get this in your thinking. This may bother you at first. It did me when I first heard it. But the more I dwell on it, the more I believe it. Any revelation that you have of God outside of Jesus Christ, get rid of it. Get rid of it, because you may have a partial revelation of who God is, and that's not exactly who God is. It may be close to who God is, but it's not exact. Jesus is exactly who God was. When God revealed himself, he didn't reveal himself in part, he revealed himself perfectly. See, when we see, you can look through the old sermon from years ago, you can see through a crevice, or you can see through a crack, and you can see parts of it. But when the door is open, you don't see in part, you see completely. So Jesus, being the express image, opened up the door. Not only did I wasn't going to preach, but I think I might. He didn't just open up the door, he was the door. And he said, if anybody comes in any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The only way to get in is through him. The only way you get to God is through that gift that he gave us when he revealed himself to all mankind. Can you say amen? It's important that we know this, because he wasn't just almost like, let me say it like this. Jesus wasn't God Junior. And this makes it the most beautiful love story ever. And this stems from a conversation that I had Sunday. And after church Sunday, this conversation that I had, as I was talking, I could see revelation hitting. Not just the person I was talking to, but people around them. Person around. And when I seen that, I said, I hope we all understand this, because this is really important. It's important to understand that God sent his son, but it's important to understand that God manifested in flesh and became the son. So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That is important. Why is that important? Because God loved you so much that he came to pay the price for you, to feel your infirmities, be touched by your pain, to take your sorrow, to carry your grief. He did all of that so that you could be redeemed, our near kinsman redeemer. He did all of that for divine will and purpose, so that we may become one with him while we are in the flesh. Get that? Because remember, I'm on this kick. I've been on this kick all year. We're not waiting until we get to the sweet by and by. We're not waiting until we clock out of here and then wait for it to all get better. No, we're supposed to bring the glory of God here on earth right now while we're here. Quit trying to punch your clock and get out of here. Oh, Lord, just get me out of here. I can't wait till the rapture so I can just get out of here. He didn't call you to sit around and wait on the rapture. He called you so that you could bring the kingdom and the glory of God here on earth right now. He's looking for somebody that he can work through. We're sitting there talking. The lady asked me a question. She said, well, here's my problem. The problem is, was it really a sacrifice? She said, if God, knowing that once he crucified Jesus, that he was still going to be with all of us anyway, then was it really a sacrifice? I said, oh, you got this. You're looking at this all wrong. You're looking at all of this. It's so wrong, because here's the issue. Was it a sacrifice? Let me say it like this. God loved man so much that he became one. God loved man so much that he became one. And when God became flesh and dwelt among men, the disciples would say, that which we have seen, which we have touched, our hands have handled the word of life. Now, I understand that it is awesome for us to touch God, but what we may not realize is God loves us so much, when we touch him, it does something not just for us, but it does something for him as well. When we realize who we are, it'll make a difference. Amen. You ever just, some of you parents, you ever just had your kid come up to you and hug you? When they want some money or something? It does something for them, but man, what does it do for you? When your child reaches out, I don't care how old they are. I seen Taylor a few minutes ago, and I went to hug her and about step on her foot, and it does something. So we're trying to touch God, and we say, man, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, we want to touch him. But when we touch him, it affects him as well, not just us. See, when we get this, we'll understand the love that God has for us. Because the issue is, and this was, again, back to the Talk Sunday, we get so caught up on this being a religion and not a relationship that we're trying to behave a certain way and make God somehow manipulate him that, oh, God, I'm the good kid. Now I need you to work for me. And we pray like we're trying to twist God's arm. But when we realize that we've been placed by adoption and the Spirit makes us cry, Abba, Father, when we've been adopted into the family, Robin, we don't have to twist his arm because he said, I will not withhold any good thing from you. Amen. Express perfect, a replica. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Did they trespass? Were they trespassers? Yes. But God did not impute their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It's Wednesday night. If you're here and you're saved, you're in a good spot. And if you're here today and you're lost, you're in a really, really good spot. Because he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the key to reconciliation, Isaiah, is to walk like he walked. Why is that important? Because we can't preach to the world another Jesus. This is what the world finds unbelievable. When a Christian claims to be a Christian with their lips, but in their life, they are so far from Christ. And it gives occasion for people to run it down, listen, as sure as there is a counterfeit, there is a real. And just because there is a counterfeit doesn't mean there isn't a real. As sure as there is a hypocrite, there is a true believer. Now, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry. Us, we have a ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? It is our ministry or our calling to get people back in relationship with God. You with me? So why is all this important? Romans 8:28. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that we might be conformed to the image of his son. Let me say that again. See, here's the way I understand that a police artist works. He sits down, or she sits down, and somebody sits across the table, and they describe a person to them. The perpetrator looked like this. And they say he had this and he had that. And they draw, they make the image according to the word. Oh, this is good. This is so good. They make the image according to the words. They haven't seen They haven't seen them, but they're listening to the words and they're trying to produce the image. The issue is when you aren't listening to the word or you're not capable of producing the image, there is a problem. So what we get is the picture that we've seen. It doesn't quite look right. Now, where's the problem? Is the problem in the person describing it, or is the problem in the person who is trying to create the image? Well, let me make sure that you know this. If we aren't producing the image of Jesus, it is not in his word. It's not in the one who has described it. On the contrary, it is on us who are trying to make the image. So let me preach to you right now and let you know this. God didn't leave you alone to create the image, but on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came in and it began to testify about who he was. So what's going on when the Spirit is guiding you? It's trying to make you draw the image. No, you over here. You're over there going that. And the Spirit's like, put your tongue up. That ain't what we're looking for. And man, this is good, because I've had him do it. I have felt him do it. You start drawing wrong, or you start going outside the lines, and you know what the Holy Spirit does? It corrects you. Oh, listen to this. I have never laid eyes on him, but I sure do know what he looks like. I've never seen him. I've seen pictures of him, and I'm pretty sure those pictures are wrong, right? I mean, Home Interior made some money on it. Some of these people draw these pictures and make money, but that's not what he looks like, right? So how do I know what he looks like? I'm going to tell you how I know what he looks like, because when I look in his word, I read of him, and I see love, and I see kindness, and I see compassion, and I see power, and I see, I see the key is the word. Now, listen, I don't want to go too far with this, because we're in a tough spot right now. The church has been trying to be so benevolent that we forgot to be biblical. Let me tell you what Jesus never was: benevolent over biblical. He never was, Dustin, so kind that he did not, that he strayed from the word and his mission and who he was. Yeah, we've tried to be cultural and forgot to be kingdom. Because sometimes, Aaron, the Spirit will prick your heart to tell somebody the love in truth. It's the Spirit drawing the image. So why is it important that we be led by the Spirit of God so that we can produce the proper image? Because when we produce the proper image, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So if the image that we are lifting up is the image of Jesus and not religion and philosophy and legalism and liberalism and our own idea, if we lift up Jesus, then the world will see the image in us, and then we will be... This is why your sanctification is important. And I'm not sure if the old preachers had it right or they had it wrong. I've not figured it out yet. I've tried. Because you know what they preached on a lot? They preached on holiness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Now, some of y'all young people may not know. This may be a new word to you. What I tried to do, what they tried to do, was to make me act right. Come on. Buddy, I tell you right now, you better walk right and spit white. They'd lay it on you. They'd lay it on you. The motivation was to do what was right. The problem was I didn't know why I was supposed to be doing what was right, just for the fact that God was holy and I needed to act like him. But now that I know him And this is for some of you young people. Man, if you get this, this will move you way ahead in your Christian walk. You are not righteous because God's going to bonk you over the head if you aren't. You are righteous because you are trying to produce his image, because when you realize who he is, you want to be like him. And when you want to be like him, people will see him through you. And man, when people see him through you, then I'm going to tell you, it'll be the best day of your life when you line up with the image that he has designed for you to be conformed to. Amen. I got to go to church Sunday. I don't know. They got this fast thing going on. I signed up for it. Well, actually, my wife signed me up for it. I didn't even sign up. Now, we can't eat for 24 hours. But I hope if I do this, God does something for me. You know why all y'all are laughing? Because it's true. It's funny because it's true. I got to go. I got to go to church tonight. I'm tired. I am tired, as some people say. Tired. And man, when you get tired, people get grouchy when you get tired. Oh, like three people raised their hand. How many people's spouses get grouchy when they get tired? Oh, yeah, more hands going up now for some reason. Why is it important? Why is my sanctification important? Because the goal is to look like Jesus. Why is the goal to look like Jesus? Because we can't save anybody. We are to be living epistles. We are to be living epistles, right? Right? And some people, I've heard this a lot. You are the only Jesus some people are going to see. Well, you better do a better job, because if you're the only Jesus some people's going to see, those peeps are in trouble. Because at your best, you are a marred image. At your very best, amen? But through sanctification, we go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. We talked about this not too long ago. You know how to start looking like somebody? Get around them. And sometimes even that don't work. Was it you talking about this in Sunday school? That when two people are married for a long time, that they start looking like each other? Get ready, Tracy. You're in trouble. They did studies to see why this was so. They look at people, they've been married for a long time, and they look like brother and sister after so long. They just look alike. But some people were married the same amount of time, and they didn't look alike. So they wanted to know, what was it? Maybe it was the food they ate. Maybe it was the environment. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was a lot of different stuff, you know? It could have been this guy. And here's what they concluded. They concluded that it's when they shared interests and they thought a lot about the same things that their features would start, to look alike. It's not about the food they ate, but it is the way they thought. This is why I believe the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. If I get the mind of Christ, then I will start to look like Christ. If you don't think the way you think changes the way you look, but go somewhere where somebody has lost their mind. It doesn't take very long to tell that their physical features will change because the way that they think. So if this is true in the natural, I believe it's true in the spiritual. When I start thinking like Jesus, I'll start looking like Jesus. But as long as I'm thinking like me and acting like me, I'm going to create a marred image. I want to be the image of the firstborn. I want to be the image. Why? They need to see it. And in it, there's a blessing for you. Amen. Josh, your wife can't deny that, baby. I looked back there a minute ago and I was like, yep, that's hers. Ain't no doubt about it. I wonder if the world is looking at us and saying, yep, that's his. How do you know? I can tell. I can tell by the image. I can tell by the way they walk. I can tell by the way they talk. I can tell because there's something radiating from them that is not from this world. And listen, all you, everybody trying to fit in. Why are you trying to fit in when God designed you to stand out? God didn't design you to fit in this world. God designed you to stand out so that you could show forth the glory of the one that saved you. That's why he designed you. That's why he called you. That's why he brought you. That's why he paid the price. That's what he's looking for. Amen. Come on, Aaron. Wow, it's 7:50. This is the shortest service in history. Your sanctification is important. Your walk is important. That's why I'm just gonna keep pounding this drum. That we're not gonna be a church that got saved and punched our ticket to heaven, and we're going to sit around until the rapture takes place. That is not the design of the church. Well, I can't wait to get to heaven. Listen really close. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. What do you think is going to be going on that new earth? You think we're setting up heaven? Oh, the earth looks lovely tonight. What do you think is going to be going on? There, oh, man. It's Wednesday, I can go ahead and say this. I don't think when he says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, that the old heaven is going to pass away and the old earth is going to pass away and it's going to become. I don't think it's talking about completely annihilated. I think it's talking about like you, same verbiage, the old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a restoration. It's a renewal. So what is the earth waiting on? Man, I'm preaching right now. This is better than you know. If you don't know, you need to study it because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean, preacher? The manifestation of the sons of God is this. They're waiting on the sons of God to look like the Son of God. They're waiting on us to manifest Jesus. And when it does, the whole creation will be able to. Oh, glory. Amen. I better leave that alone until next time. So it's extremely important to know this. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus, the express image of God. The perfect, the facsimile, the exact rep, the copy. Here's where the revelation part came in the conversation. Jason, you taught this some time back. When Jesus was praying in the garden, he said, let this cup pass from me. It wasn't the scourging. It wasn't the beating. It wasn't the crown of thorns. It was the separation that he did not want to happen. So think of this like this. God loved man so much he became one. And at the cross, there was a separation because the Bible says Jesus gave up the ghost. Why would he be so torn? Because God wanted to reveal himself perfectly. Doug, when I think of it like that, God's like, I don't want to leave. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away, but let this cup pass from me. Don't make me separate from mankind. I love them that much. Don't make me separate. I don't know if you think this way or not, but I think this way a lot. Eddie, I think when Jesus looks at people in heaven and says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, I think he might do it with a tear in his eye. Now, some reformed people would give me a lot of grief over that and say, no, that Jesus right there will break you. Hey. After everything he's done, after everything he went through, after creating you, calling you over and over and over and over, willing to give you any good thing. You want his spirit, he'll give it to you. You want his word in your heart, he'll give it to you. You want joy, he'll give it to you. You want peace, he'll give it to you. In the conversation, the lady looked at me and said, well, then why would God send people to hell for not loving him? Here's the answer. God doesn't send people to hell, they choose hell. He said, I set before you life and death. He said, choose life. Choose life. I'm telling you, choose life. You hear me? Do you hear me? We got a God that loves people. I don't want to misrepresent him. So what do you got to do? You got to read his word. You got to get his word. Thy word, O God, hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know what sin means? Miss the mark. I'm telling you, them drawings, somebody missed the mark. Hey, you know what? The fact they got arrested was a miracle. If it's real, I don't believe nothing I see anymore. Anyway. Alice, I want to be a true image bearer. And it's so funny how people pick sides of Jesus. They pick certain sides. You know what I mean? Jesus was kind. Jesus was like, I've had people say this. I really don't like God, but I love Jesus. And I know where they get it. They get it. They read the Old Testament and they say that God was a warmonger. And he went around and he killed everybody. He condoned this and he condoned that. But Jesus went around healing everybody. Listen real close. But they hated Jesus. They hated Jesus. They hated Jesus. Do you know why they hated Jesus? Because he told them their deeds were evil. That's why they hated him. They didn't hate him because he raised the dead and healed the sick. They hated him because he said, your deeds are evil. Do we really want to be like Jesus? Listen, if nobody in the world hates you, you might want to check your image. But preacher, ain't it the goal for everybody to like us? Where did you get that from? Oh, newsflash, real fast, I'm closing. Everybody don't like you. And right now you just thought of somebody that didn't. Yeah, I know, old so-and-so. So you can't be a Christian because somebody don't like you? They didn't like Jesus. But you still got to give the image. You still got to walk in sanctification. There's some people that are hard to love. You got to love them anyway. Man, our sanctification is important. Walking in truth is important. All right, here's what we do. We're going to pray for you. If you're here and God's dealing with your heart and you need to pray at the altar, come to the altar and pray, and we will pray with you. Everybody in this room is rooting for you if God is calling you for a purpose. If God is dealing with your heart, step out. Listen, if you do that right now, we're going to go crazy. We're going to clap because we were there. We were there. We were there. I fought a battle. I'd sit in church pews, and God would call me, and I'd say, no, not today, not today, not today. And I'd get out of a church service and think that I'd done something awesome because they didn't get me. They was trying to get me, but they didn't get me. I could still do my crazy stuff. And I'd go back to church in the same process. I'm telling you, the greatest day of your life is when you surrender to that voice that is calling. And we're for you. If you don't need to pray at the altar, if you need prayer for any reason, we're here to pray for you. Come on, Aaron, let's sing.